today, right here, right now. This is the moment that you will finally say,
I'm growing my accounting practice, and you're going to discover exactly how right here, right now,
on the Grow My Accounting Practice podcast. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Ron Saharian, co-founder of Profit First Professionals.
And I'm Liz Sporn, a guide here at Profit First Professionals.
I'm Mike Michalowicz, the author of Profit First and some other business books, All In's the new one, and co-founder along with Ron. Guess what? You're listening to GMAP, Grow My Accounting Practice. This is a show where we teach you to do that. So if you're an accountant, if you're a bookkeeper, if you're a coach, you are in the right place. And we do it through a great guest interview. Venus Michael is joining us today. And talk about people who have transformed.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that a little bit during our warm-up. And we have a GMAP Now task, a task that if you do it, you see results. Plus, Ron has insider access, a technique he's using here in our offices that you can use over there in your offices.
Yeah, I'm excited for today. And guys, don't forget, you can tell your friends that they can find us on or where they can find all major podcasts.
Nailed it.
Hey, you ever, as you reflect on life.
I should write it down.
You should.
Are there, how many people, and can you even count on one hand, that have transformed so significantly that when they walk in the room, you're like, you're a different person.
Yeah.
I'm not saying physically necessarily, maybe, emotionally. I think I can think of one family member in my whole extended Michalowicz clan, all three of us. Now there's a lot more than that. But I can only think of one person that has transformed and is a different person.
Yep.
In my professional life, I can think of two people. And we're about to talk to one of them.
Yep.
Now, the other person you know is Donna Lim.
Oh.
I was talking with Donna Lim.
That's a good one.
And she's transformed.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
Yep. I interviewed her a couple years ago when we were at Profit First. And her story is amazing. And what she's done in her, yes, in her not just physical life, but her whole life.
Whole life, right?
Yeah, it's cool.
And I assume it takes massive mental fortitude.
Mm-hmm.
It takes extraordinary effort. And I bet you there's also external resistance.
Yeah.
You're not who you used to be.
Yep.
Liz.
Yep.
It's not the Liz I know.
But I will also say, Mike, you did this in that journey of transformation, that driving purpose.
There's
something so strongly pulling them away from whatever wasn't serving them last time.
Yeah.
Or, you know, previously. They're like, I'm done doing this, whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, with your social
all
group.
There, all the above.
Yeah. It's cool.
Huh?
Pretty cool.
What?
Oh, jeez. Ron. Just not connected. All right, should we dig right into it?
We should.
Her name is Venus Michael. She's the founder of One-to-One Accountability. Specializes in financial management and bookkeeping for photography studios.
Nice.
Offering profitability tools, speaking engagements, and strategic business planning. Her journey from corporate job loss to empowering others with financial clarity and success highlights her commitment to transforming businesses and lives through the Profit First methodology. I am honored to announce our guest, with no further ado, Venus Michael.
Oh, my.
Venus, welcome to the show.
I need that sound clip.
Oh, my.
Is it true? It's true, though. So let's talk about what Liz shared. Was there a defining moment or purpose or statement? How did you do all these extraordinary things?
Yep. Tell us everything.
Yeah. So I literally hit what people would believe is rock bottom. I hit it and decided that was not where I wanted to be. And so I started climbing out.
To have the fortitude to stay with it.
Yep. Right.
I think there's like this homeostasis, like my thermometer setting is here and maybe I'll go a bit above it for a little bit, but there's a drawback down. How do you just, every time you just keep showing up and keep showing up, how do you do it so consistently? Do you remember that rock bottom moment or something? Reflect on it?
I do remember the rock bottom moment. It was pretty low. And I just keep reminding myself, that's not where I want to be. And if I slip or fall, that's where I'm going. So it's just, it's a lot of self-talk. There's a lot of voices in my head.
Yeah.
Sure.
How long ago was this when you started this journey?
2014.
Okay.
2013.
Yeah,
right,
so
around
10,
in that time.
11 years. In this journey, you've become an author. You've written a transformative book, Profit First for Photographers. And I want to ask...
I also want to put Venus up a little bit. She became an authority.
Mm-hmm.
Then
yes,
she rose and is now a celebrity.
Yep.
Yeah, I know.
Right? That yeah. I mean, that's yeah. that's not something that happens overnight, and that's yeah. not something that everybody wants, and that's certainly not something everybody can achieve, especially when they feel like they're at rock bottom.
That's a better starting point. So let's start about with that, Vias. How did you become an authority in the space of photography?
My first photographer that I worked with, she's very high maintenance, high energy, and I just really clicked with her, and that's where I fell in love with the industry. Because you never get boring with that industry. There's micro industries inside of that industry. And I just clicked with them. I understood what they were talking about. I picked up their lingo very fast and can relate my problems to their problems. It's kind of a right brain, left brain marriage.
Huh. Well, I'm thinking high energy, high maintenance. So Liz, I didn't know it was a photographer. but
that was a good one. Thank you. Thanks.
Oh, I've been holding it back.
But Venus, are you a photographer? Do you have personal experience? And is that necessary to be the authority in a category?
No. I have a fancy camera and lenses, and I cannot take a picture to save my life. Yeah. No, okay. I'm not skilled at that.
So then how do you get your consumer, photographers, to see you as an authority when you don't do what they do?
Because I come on their level and I talk to them in words that they understand. I don't throw the traditional accounting words to them. Instead, I always flip the script and I'll tell them stories of in words and scenarios that they get. I have a gift for that.
Yep. We talked last week about one of the questions was like, if you could do an advertisement, what would for your skills, what would it be? And I said, I didn't know how to say it other than I see people, right? I see them. And that's what basically you said. Say, I see the pain that you're in financially or business-wise. I see you. Let me tell you a story. And yes, you're a storyteller with financial backing behind it. I love it. That's great.
Are you, would you say an empath? Is that what describes you, Venus?
Yes, very much so. I found out a few years ago when we went through the pandemic that I am a major empath.
Okay. So if you're an empath, what I presume that does is it allows you to connect with people at their emotional level to understand their pain or joy or any element. And then also, if that's true, does that then kind of translate to strategy, how you can be of service to them?
Absolutely. If you can just connect with your clients on an emotional, because money is emotional and books are emotional and finances yeah. and business, the whole thing, it's an emotional roller coaster. And so if you can connect with them emotionally, then whatever you're talking about, they feel that connection and they'll listen to you better.
Is it, can we get too close? Meaning then, you know, we might be taken advantage of because we're so empathetic to them that we might discount, we might, you forego a payment. We might, you know, actually, you know, open our hearts a little too much.
I've done that. I made that mistake.
Okay.
And then I hired somebody to be my gatekeeper.
There you go. Tell us a little bit more about that, because I
yeah. What do you mean?
That
you hired somebody to be a gatekeeper?
An issue that a lot of people deal with.
Yeah, it's my issue too.
Yep.
Yeah. So I have someone on my team that every decision goes through her, whether she's the one making it or I'm the one making it. Nothing is decided in our company without it being bounced off of her. And she's the complete opposite. She's very analytical, not emotional at all. And so we have like this two-key system where I have to sign off on it and she has to sign off on it. Otherwise, it's a no-go.
You know what? I love that, because it's not about good cop, bad cop.
Right.
It's more about analytical versus, you know, emotional.
Yep.
And, you know, the decisions that we make need to be analytical versus emotional. I really like that, because too often it's seen as a win or a loss, right? Good cop, bad cop. And it doesn't need to be that way.
Agreed. We have some members I work with, and they are different. They are sort of the Venus and her right-hand person. And it's fun to watch them talk, but they've created such systems and process that it makes these conversations that much more dynamic. Do you remember the conversations that you had when you sort of asked for her to, your right hand to give you some support to say, protect me from myself.
Yeah. So we had this kind of funny, we had this conversation a few months ago where it was brought to my attention that I was not allowed to say yes to anything until I think my date was May 15th. And so it was Christmas. And I had too many things going on, and they literally blocked my calendar, and I was not allowed whatsoever. You wanted me on a podcast. You wanted to do a sales call with me. You wanted me to go have lunch with you. It was no.
That's hilarious.
That's like your problem too sometimes, right?
Well, yeah. So I have an assistant that says no, and it's been fantastic.
Mikey, yes.
Yeah, I would say yes all the time. Yeah. So let's transition into the book. So Prop First for Photographers, you decide to write the book. You're the authority in this field. You're doing it because, not because you have experience as a photographer, but you can connect with this community and you can serve them in a unique way as an empath. Decide to write the book. One common thing I hear is, well, Prophet First is Prophet First. How can it be different? But you've enhanced the system significantly. How did you take the base structure, and then what do you do specifically to cater to this community of photographers?
First, I flip the script a little bit and I use words they understand.
Bingo, yeah.
I really love the way that I explain Parkinson's law to them, because it's totally different than the way that you explain it in your book. We also add a couple different accounts that are specific to them. So instead of the five, I think I have eight that I suggest, and the percentages are a little bit different. They're in line with yours, but they are a little different.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, is that every community, there's the base system, but it's just the basics. It needs to be modified to account them. I call it the five, the foundational five. Do you call the eight the elite eight? I'm just curious.
No, but I like that. Can I have it?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, the elite eight accounts.
It's yours.
Yeah, no, I mean, but one of the things was, did you have a book in you? Like, did you feel compelled to become an author? Was this something you aspired to? Or is this like, where did this come from?
No, I did not have a book in me.
Where'd you get the courage to do it? Because that, that ain't easy.
No, I had a really good friend, and a really good friend pushed me to do it. And then she pushed me to finish it. But it all started when my clients told me that I needed to write the book, because I was verbalizing all of this information. But you can only verbalize it to so many people. And they're like, you need to write the book. So I went and I talked to Mike about it. And then I waited a year and played with the idea again and talked to Mike about it. And then finally, my friend pushed me and I sent an email and said, okay, I'm ready. And then that's when everything started rolling. It was a 2-year process of just going back and forth.
How do you determine what stories that you put in there? Because clearly you're working with lots of photographers implementing Prophet First. You have success stories. How do you pick the ones that actually go into the book?
So I had a whole collection of stories, and I ran them through a couple of my friends and asked them, okay, how impactful is this one versus that one? And it was really a group effort as to which stories were going to make it into the book.
What's your favorite one?
My absolute favorite one actually starts off the book. The first line of my book is, I have got to stop working so hard for no money. And it is a story of a photographer who, she was pure side hustle, and she had spent all day and only made $75. Oof. And that was her breaking point of realizing that she needed help.
Yep. And that she can do better. Right. I mean, she's probably a killer photographer making beautiful art for people, making their lives better. Good for her.
Venus, when photographers come to you, most of the time, I'm going to assume that they have worked with a bookkeeper maybe previously, or an accounting firm previously. Where have you seen other accounting firms falling short? How are they not serving their customers in the best way?
So I get this question a lot. And it all goes into the communication. And what happens is you're a creative person and you hire somebody to take care of your books. and you're hiring the wrong person because you're hiring someone who's always looking at yesterday, because that's what bookkeeping is. It is looking at literally things that have already happened. Now, where all of my clients will start singing my praises is in the meetings that I have with them. We have them once a month and they're formulated the same way. I call it yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I tell them, we will look at yesterday because we have to. That's the function. We have to keep you compliant. But we also look at today, like what is going on in your studio and your business today and how can I help? And what is going on tomorrow? What are you planning for? And then how can we actually utilize the power of Profit First to help with that? If you're going to hire, if you're going to expand, if you're going to build, if you're wanting to go to a conference, like how do we, knowing what they want to do tomorrow, I can really advise them what to do today so that they can get to that tomorrow idea.
Love it.
I'm curious about the common problems that photographers have when it comes to profitability. Do you find, because you serve this niche, that they have unique problems that, I'm curious what they are. Because I find
film gets exposed to sunlight.
But you know, sometimes there's like these stupid spends that you see over and over again. Are there common problems?
Yes, there are a ton of education, I'm doing air quotes, you can't see me, gurus out there.
I felt it though, yeah.
That is a major one. And so we have a whole conversation around deciding or not if they're going to go with a certain guru and how are we going to measure the actual ROI on that. But the most common problem with most photographers has to do with props. Or if they are a luxury fashion photographer, it's dresses. I call it shiny dress syndrome.
Beautiful gown.
And it'll just sit in a closet and collect dust. Or they will buy the perfect prop that they use once and then it'll just collect dust. That's where a lot of their money goes.
What about tech gadgetry? Like, oh my God, all those new cool cameras and stuff, lenses. I don't know why I'm doing a voice like that, but you know.
you would think it would be the tech, but no. Yeah. But now that the AI is coming out with the new, I'll edit this and I'll edit that, I'm starting to see a little bit of the software side of it. But the hard tech is no. Another funny thing about photographers, they are very brand loyal. So there is Team Canon and there is Team Nikon.
Those are the two.
Yeah, those are the two. And like it's... they do not mix at all.
Really? Worse than Apple and Microsoft?
No, it's
so do you have to then do you then have to understand the lingos of both of those type of companies? Like do they have different processes of fulfillment for a photographer?
Not really, because it's the same piece of equipment. A lens is a lens, an aperture is an aperture.
Got it.
I have a question. The name of your business is One-to-One Accountability. You are in an accountability group here. You have a very strong community around you. So what are your, you know, how do you bring that love of sort of community accountability to your clients? Or tell me about that, you know, how important is that word to you?
It's actually very important to me. The whole one-to-one, when we rebranded my company a few years ago, that comes from my days in networking. And you would literally go and meet someone for a one-to-one. You'd get to know them better. Mm-hmm. So that's where that part comes from. And the accountability part comes from really the meetings and the conversations that I have with my clients, where I am not just going to sit there and give you your numbers. I'm actually going to like lock arms with you. And even though legally I don't own your company, I'm going to act like I do. In my heart, I'm going to own it. I'm going to celebrate the successes with you. And I think my clients really feel that. And that's why they trust me and they stick with me. And now they ask me all kinds of questions.
What are some of the guardrails that you put in place for them? Right, we talked earlier about, you know, protecting us from ourselves. What are some of the things that you do for them, knowing what you know now?
Oh, that's a hard one. I don't really know how to answer that one.
Yeah, I just think of like early day process or systems or, you know, the accountability. How often are you meeting with them? Things like that. Just some of your sort of maybe some of your non-negotiables.
My biggest non-negotiable is I have two phones now. I used to have just one phone. I thought, okay, I'm a small business, you know, I'll just have one phone. Well, now I have two phones. And you can't get me when I'm off.
Nice.
Then, but the other side of that is that I am available to my clients most of the time. And I want to keep that feeling of that. So that's a really hard question for me to really answer without like diving into it.
Sure.
I'm stumbling over this question. You got me, Liz. I'm stumbling over this question.
Look at me. That's better than usually Ron gets that. That's a great question. I think I won.
Today. Just today. I got to jump back to this book.
Yep.
I want to know about the writing process. What was that experience like for you? And what do you feel now that you're on the other side of it? The book's about to be released on this July 9th. Actually, this will be coming out. We should actually
push
this fast. Yep. Yeah. So this will be coming out July 9th.
Done.
What's it like to be on the other side of it? So what's the journey been like? What's it like on this other side?
Oh, well, the journey was not pretty. I think I told you, Mike, I think I told you one time that you told me I would cry. You didn't tell me I would cry this time.
Yeah, I remember on the phone. I was at an airport. I remember that distinctly. Yeah.
Wait, you told me, what was the last part? You told me I would cry. You didn't tell me I would cry this much. Is that what you said?
This much. Yeah, I told him.
Was like, she was crying saying that. And I started crying. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah, it's a little blubbery for the two of us.
The whole journey was very emotional and very eye-opening. I started the journey not even knowing how to write a book and piece it together. Luckily, I was smart enough to go to a class that taught me.
Right.
Nice.
But now that it's done, for the first couple of days, it was a very surreal feeling. I didn't really know what emotion to feel. But now that it's done and I see it and we're in the nitty gritty of marketing it and getting ready for the launch of it, I'm actually really proud. And I think it will serve a lot of people and change a lot of lives, which is what I want it to do.
Now, are you more proud of the book or your photo on my wall?
The book.
That was a very thoughtful.
I was hoping there would just be silence.
I was scared there was going to be just silence.
I was awesome. Praying for
then
that.
Then Liz and Mike would have been crushing me.
That would have been great.
It's a great picture.
But the photo on the wall has to stay, Ron. Please don't.
It is. Yeah.
Now, your book isn't released yet. I'm curious, though, how the market is responding, if at all, or if they even know. Does this affect your customers even before the book's released? Does it bring in opportunity even before the book's released, or is it quiet before the big announcement?
Well, so everybody who I'm working with now knows the book is coming. Mm. So my roster knows, my close friends know. It's available for pre-sale. The Kindle version is available for pre-sale right now. So it's starting to get out and get noticed.
You've been noticed even before that because you've decided to speak from stages at conferences.
That's what I want to talk about.
Tell us about the time when was the first time you actually got noticed? And what was that like? You were in an airport, right?
Oh, I had an opportunity in January to go to the conference for photographers, and I got to spend 3 days talking to them. It was amazing. Mm. 2,000 photographers who didn't know me, didn't know about my book, and I just got to have raw conversations with them. But the coolest thing was it happened to me 5 different times where people would come up to me and they'd tell me, Venus, you don't know me, but I know you. And they'd start talking to me. It was the most amazing feeling. A little scary when it happened at the airport, right. But when it happened at the conference, it was pretty amazing.
Oh, that's great. And what are you presenting on, and how regularly do you present, and how's that going?
So I am right now crafting a speech. I'm doing something in August to a chapter in Houston where I'm literally going to teach them the nuts and bolts of the information in my book and then how to implement it and get started with it.
Great.
The nice. Whole profit first journey.
Great. Congrats. And do you love it? Like, how do you feel about it? You know, writing, obviously there were tears. Are there tears in speaking and presenting?
Yes, because I'm actually scared to get up on stage. I'm going to a class for that too.
Excellent.
I know. You've done a lot of things that are scary to you. You've done.
Yep.
Yes.
I mean that's crazy. Wonderful. You know, that's what it's all about, doing what you say you're going to do. And when you do it, Venus, look at the results. Unbelievable. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We're almost out of time, but I have a question. We ask some funny questions, you know, sort of rapid fire questions. If you were an athlete, Venus, what would you choose as your walkout song is the question I have for you right now.
It would be Made You Look by Meghan Trainor.
Oh, that's a good one. Nice.
It's like all about catchy and upbeat and self-confidence. Yep. And yep. If I'm going to walk out somewhere, I need all that.
Well, you know, what's funny. So it's funny you said Meghan Trainor. When you were first talking about your right-hand person who doesn't let you say yes, she also has that other song, No. Do you know that song, Meghan Trainor?
Of course I do.
Right? My name is No. My number is No. My sign is
She's
No.
She got that other song about fish, right? Bass? Something like that?
All about that.
That's not fish.
That's great. I love it. Excellent. That's all. That was my big, tough last question for you.
So, Venus, we've got to wrap it up now. This has been awesome. The book's coming out July 9th. Where can people find you? Where can people reach out to you to learn more and contract you for speaking engagements and all that great stuff?
Seriously.
So it all starts on my website, venusmichael.com or onetoaccountability.com.
And it's one spelled out O-N-E, the number two, then the number one, then accountability.com. And it's Venus Michael, just like it sounds.
And get the book. I just want every guest listening in, Profit First for Photographers. It's on Amazon right now. We're broadcasting this when the book goes live so you can get the print copy. Here's why you should get it. I don't serve photographers. It'll give you another perspective on Profit First. And maybe if you yourself become a Profit First professional one day, you'll learn how to customize it for your community. And or maybe you're serving photographers.
Yeah.
Or you will one day. And now Venus is giving you the tools. And maybe you can even partner with Venus.
And so help them see the profit. Right? Get it? Yeah. Help them see the profits.
That's cute. Frame the
profits. I mean, it's all right. That's okay.
Yeah.
You can keep working.
That's more optometrist you're leaning toward. I would say have them frame the profits.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Nice.
All right.
Venus,
thanks for joining.
Look at the business through a new lens.
Oh, that's what I meant.
That's why you have the specialist here.
Yeah, that's why she's the authority.
All right, let's get out of here.
Nice job, Venus.
Bye, Venus. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, in a second, we're going to recap what we learned. I love that. You sting it anytime you want. I love it. And we're going to... It's fun, right? It's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, it's
the soundboard always makes a sound person laugh. And then we're also going to do the insider access and the GMAP NAT test. Look, she's laughing away. All right, let's start with the review. What do we take away?
You will never give me a soundboard, will you?
No, never.
Maybe a little bit?
No. All right, I'm going to go first.
Yep.
What I learned from Venus today, and this is true for any community, she uses the words that they understand. Mm. It's so interesting when you take a principle and you frame it with the words that people recognize, the instant authority brings about. There's other things I learned too with her changing the percentages. I love the yesterday, today, tomorrow, but that concept of use the words they understand just made it so clear how easy it is to become an authority, or at least to be perceived as authority. She is, but that's how you translate it to the folks.
Yep.
Lizzo.
Yep. It's very similar to that. It's the flipping the script, doing the specific accounts. I see where your pain is. I see where your challenges are. I love it. I do something similar in the yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And it's like where we were, where we are, where we're going, and how we're going to get there. And there's something that linear sort of roadmap is just, it's necessary. It's not as scary to people who are not numbers people. So that, well done, Venus, as usual.
I agree with all of that. And I think she kind of took a shot at the industry in general, unknowing. You hired somebody who only looks at what happened.
Nice, yep.
If you are a bookkeeper, accounting firm that just is listening to this episode, and you are the bookkeeper, accountant that only looks at what happened,
yep,
you're going to be losing your customers.
Correct. Yep. Yeah.
All right.
I love it.
That's what we learned. We want to know what you learned too. So we invite you, when you do a review of the show, to post it in the podcast. Now, let's go on. Let's go on.
He's still angry from last week.
I'm still a little bit jacked up. I'm still jacked up. Let's go on to the trippy questions. You guys are...
How would people ideally respond when you told them what you did for a living? What do you wish people would do when you're like, I am this person. I do this.
It's interesting. When people ask me what I do for a living and I say I'm an author, there's usually a little like hit the brake. My God, sorry. No, there's usually like, what? I've never met an author before. It's interesting how many authors, Venus is an author, how many authors out there, but how few people lead with that. Like, that's sure. My core profession. And
what do you wish they would do though? What do you want them to be like? What?
Oh, I understand what you're saying.
Right?
I wish they would say,
I heard
is
that
your life's purpose? Because I want to follow my life's purpose too.
Oh.
I wish people would talk about
that. Oh, all right. Is that your answer to Ron?
Yeah. I thought he would say, oh, what book? You know, yeah. Oh, I heard that book. I've heard of that book. What's the question again?
How would you like people to respond when you tell them what you do for a living?
Can you help me?
Oh, nice.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah. Yep. That's a version of what I have too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like help me.
But you wouldn't want to say, what do you do for a living? I'm a drug dealer. Can you help me? Then you don't want that. There's certain circumstances.
What do you mean?
What if you're looking for one?
The dealer. Yeah, it's true.
You actually do.
Yeah. Whatever you want.
Are you getting another question?
Yeah, I'm just tired.
You're tired of my
questions? Looking through your trippy questions. Yeah, I'm just looking. You don't post what you want to post. I'm just trying to find a better one.
Oh, man. Holy cow.
Ronald.
Liz, he's something.
Oh, I'm asking the trippy question now. Ron and Liz.
Okay.
Oh.
Which of these common fantasy careers would you most be interested in? I can tell you what Ron's is. Landscape and gardening, running a small hotel, or managing a cake shop. Which is your choice and why? Ron, you're first.
A hotel.
Come on. You'd be landscape and gardening.
That was mine.
Why do you want to run a hotel? You have to say why now. Why is that your fantasy career of these three choices?
Because I would actually not rent them out. I would actually live in it and make the whole thing my house and have different rooms, different things and stuff like that.
Thanks for not answering the question. So what's your fantasy career? Running a small hotel. I wouldn't run it. I would own it.
Okay.
It'd be my house.
Okay. All right.
How about you, Liz? Of these three fantasy careers, what would most interest you and why? Landscaping and gardening.
I already said that one. That's the one.
Why?
Because I love all things green. I love trees. I love plants. I love flowers. I love bushes. I love having dirt in my fingernails. I love growing things.
So much. I like that too.
Yeah.
Ron does love that stuff.
I know he does. He has a huge garden.
He can't stop talking about it.
Oh, I forgot it. I needed my behavior intercept. I got radishes for you guys.
Oh.
Great ones, man. Whew.
Bring them to my house.
Bring, yeah.
All right. Okay.
Okay. What, now, sting us. Or no, lightsaber us.
This is the best.
It's interactive.
Tim Thompson
Ron's doing
up.
His...
I think
his
Venus
space here,
too.
We can use your space over there.
All right, guys, here's the thing. Did you know that every Profit First book derivative is this?
She's trying to fade it out, I think.
So with Profit First, it's not all about just learning about Profit First. We help our members grow. We help them not only become the authority, also the celebrity. It's part of our growth curriculum. So if you're an accountant or a bookkeeper and you feel you have a book in you and you want to become a Profit First professional, we have curriculum that will absolutely help you. Not only why you want to write a book, but how to do it, where to do it, and we have the curriculum ready for you.
Nice, Ron.
Nice.
There.
Don't rush me.
No, I didn't rush you. I just...
You did. Yes, you did.
I lit the TNT.
This one, we have really jumped the shark on this one, guys. Jeez.
Last thing is our GMAP NAT task. It was the Fonz who jumped the shark,
I think,
right? Yeah. Here's a real simple question you can ask in your business or in your life. Who will I love upon? I'll tell you, when you ask that question, it brings focus to the community you care for, and you just do it over and over. My wife said, which house will we love? When we started looking for a house, she goes, which house will we love upon? And we just poured into the home, and it's become this something greater than a home.
Yeah, it is.
And when it comes to your clients, who will you love upon? And you'll naturally go that way. So
love it. Love it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Right. Nice job, guys. Nice job, Liz, Venus, Mike, listeners. Don't forget to tell your friends they can find us where they find all major podcasts.
That was amazing.
He wrote it down.
Oh, that's why. He nailed it.
I didn't read it that time.
I also want to invite you to become a Profit First professional. It's been part of Venus's journey, and she is elevating the brand. She's taking the brand under her wing, and she's elevating all of us. Well, you can do the same. We can start by elevating you, and then you can elevate the entire brand by embracing it for your own community. Here's how you get started. Go to ProfitFirstProfessionals.com. Look for the option to apply. You'll have a dialogue with Liz or Ron. We'll explore it if it's a fit. My gosh, are we transforming your business as you transform your clients? All right, that's it, guys.
All right, see ya.
Thank you.